all the debts that you need to pay, and you own this, and you own that one, and that one, and your money, you know, why do you spend your money on what is not bread? It cannot satisfy. It means I can't look even after my household. And I labor and labor and do, and it's like a broken cistern. You know, you put water in it, it don't keep the water, it just flow. And he say again, listen to me, listen and eat what is good. Give ear to me, come to me, listen that you may live. There's the warning, because God knows there will be those who are not going to listen. And how many times he say it? Listen, listen to me, there in verse 2. Again, there in verse 3, give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. He repeated over a few times. Why? Because it is so serious. You know what is at stake here? My soul. And if it is lost, it is lost forever. No second chance after death. Try to find it. No. And then he go on and God said, through that he want to, he love us, he's a faithful God, he's the God of Israel. Verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found, call on him while he's still near. And then he say, if you want to do then, remember the condition, let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts, let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. You want to come? You must be thirsty. Can I ask us again, when we talk about resisting the Spirit of God? And I asked it the other day, are we resisting Him? We don't want to comply to God's conditions. No, we want to have our conditions, my merits, my stipulations. We're resisting by that. Maybe I can ask this question again. Did you suffer enough where you come from? Did I suffer enough as an ex-alcoholic? Then, back then, when I was indulging in it, nearly lose my life twice because I want to commit suicide because of how I handle my problems and my circumstances. And if I can't handle it, I will drown it. Well, I nearly drowned myself by trying to kill myself, and it was unsuccessful. And God's mercy was there to call me. Come to me. Come. I can change your life forever. For the good, for the better, not for the worse. But you must be thirsty, Chris. And so many times we say we had enough. So many times we say I suffered enough. And before you know, I'm back to square one. Continue with the same gemors that I'm in. And maybe this time much deeper in than before. Maybe this time I lose much more than before. The next step might be it's too late because I resist change. Maybe I can give you an example. There was a guy, will not mention names. The other day I look at my photos that I, in my 7.5 years here, go back and reminiscing a little bit, and just to see what God has done. This whole podium what year was on one stage full of young men who go through the prisoner's journey. Some of them do the EE3, and there was a lot of people. And I took pictures of them. And there was a guy here, he was 16 years old, and we don't take minors, but we have permission from Pastor Greg, and so they pick him up. We clean him up, and he's here, pick him up on the Friday, and he was sitting where the guys sit, and I can see the roster time kick in, and then he sit like this and like that, and he's restless. You can see the roster time is working him. But I just don't pay attention to that, because I know, come on, we know what's going on. And that evening, I preached. I didn't even know. And no one that know. I preached on Isaiah just a few chapters back. Isaiah 49. And as I opened up there and I read it, just the first few verses, not all of it. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my mother's womb, He has spoken my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of His hand, He had hit me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in His quiver. And He said to me, you are my servant Israel, in whom I will display my splendor. Just those two, three verses. And I know it talks about Jesus Christ, the servant of the Lord. And I use exactly those words where I use the principle and the spiritual lesson there too. And I said to us, me included, none of us know how many chances that you have. Some have the first time ever they go to a place like this to be helped. Some for the second or third or fourth. There was a guy here, I can't even remember that amount. It was a lot. Can you remember? 27 times. Am I right? 27 times. There's something wrong here, man. How can you be 27 times in places and still you are where you are? There's something wrong of the heart. And none of those places, he was even here. And he left. So the next one might be 28 and 29. But anyway, that particular evening, I said this. We don't know. I don't know. I'm not a prophet. That office is long time filled. Doesn't exist anymore. We don't know how much time do we have left. Do you? Do you know how much time do you have left? Maybe a year, maybe two. We don't even know if we're going to see tomorrow. We don't know. And we don't know if the chance that God gave me here to make right with Him may be the last chance that I will get. I don't know. That's why I say maybe for some of us. So on that trend, I go on. After my message, Saturday come, I can see that guy is restless, and it's fine. Sunday morning, he's gone. Have some of the stuff stolen, gone. That's what we do, isn't it? I think a week and a half later, they pick him up in Phoenix, in one of the fields there, stabbed to death. He was 16 years old. The time, the accepted time that God gave him, he forfeited. I don't know how many times he had in his life. I don't know. But it looks like the one that they have here was the last one. And I want to say it without, and I hope it scares you. It might be your last one. And I don't predict death over you. It might be my last time that I stand here and say this to you. I might be tomorrow gone. Because none of our lives is in our hands. It's in God's. That's why He knows the time of our expiring date. That's why He wants us to change so that He can use us with the time that's left of our lives. And I said sometimes our pathetic lives, because that is what we live if we don't have Christ in our lives. I have lived a pathetic life without Him, resisting that change. And you can remember, we ask the question or say that God has the good of all men. God does seek the good of men. Listen to Genesis 1, verse 26 to 31. Man are created in the image of God, and God's desire is to have fellowship, a personal relationship with man. He has created us in His image. If I can tell you this, and you might hold on to your seat, do you know that there's nothing in Satan that can be loved? Nothing. Satan doesn't know anything about love. He don't know what it is. He can't give it. A question that was one day been asked to me from a Satanist, and that it was, why isn't there forgiveness for Lucifer? Because Lucifer is his real name when he was in heaven. And he became Satan and the dragon and serpent after the fall of him. Why isn't there for Lucifer no forgiveness? But for us, there are. Why is it that he hates mankind so much? Because we are created in God's image and not him. So every time when he looked at the child of God, of every person on earth, he saw the image of God, although it is distorted by sin. And once that person comes to Christ, that image is be restored. That's why he hates mankind. And he wants to take them out, all of them. Especially if you are a child of God. God has his good for us. He wants to stand with you in a living relationship. But we resist him. We don't want him. Jeremiah 29:11. Listen to this, and maybe you heard it before, that God has a plan for your life. He say, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper, you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Do you know that people will give up heaven because of their friendships with this world? I think I did say the other day, people say, "But you know, this body of mine, we have a history. We came from, you know, primary school days, man. We know it's out from long time ago, and we grow up together, and we are still together. Dropouts together, washouts together, sleep in the streets together, begging for food together." Let me tell you, you will not have a hopeful future together. One of you have to break away from each other if you want to cling to God. Or both of you have to cling to God to have a hopeful future. But we love our friends much more. And the plan that God has for us has been fulfilled. The dream that God has before the foundation of the world, because the Bible says we've been created. We was on his mind before the foundation of the world. That dream that God has for you and for me, if we don't come in line with God's will for our lives, that dream will never be accomplished. And Satan will sit and laugh. There was so much, much more for you, but you choose not to take it. Wow. I have a plan for your life. Do you believe that? Something better that you have experienced ever in your life. I said it again. There is no other religion than what Christianity can give us. That the author, the founder of Christianity can live within its followers. The others can't. You have to serve them and you have to cut yourself and you have to do a lot of stuff. And if you don't do it, they hunt you down. I saw it many times in the counseling room. They don't give up without a fight. And then they will scare the wits out of them. Fear them. But Jesus has conquered them all. What is there in Satan to love? Nothing, man. Once Satan has stand before me and said, "You know, I've got the power." Really? You deceive yourself, man. Don't let Satan deceive you. What do you mean? I said, amen. You think you have the power? You can manipulate and you can maybe read some minds of people? But let me give you a news flash. So I took her to this wonderful portion of the Bible. They don't like it to open the Bible in front of them. But I said, let me give you a news flash. I'm telling you can do me absolutely nothing. And I don't brag about myself. I give glory to God. Because here is what the Bible says. What's that? In Luke chapter 10, verse 19. "I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you." That lady didn't like that words. It's actually not she, but he who's in her. And then I go to John 1, John chapter 4. I didn't know even that this word then. "You, my dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who's in this world." And I said, "Madam, you can do me nothing, absolute nothing. You might have all this power that Satan gave you, but let me give you another news flash. Colossians chapter 2, do you know the Bible there? What it say? Oh, now she's on her high heels. Yeah, because it's cooking inside. It's getting hot. You feel the fires of hell. And it say here in Colossians chapter 2, my favorite, especially in the counseling room, where, let me, it say here, verse 13, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made them an open spectacle of them, triumph over them by the cross. You are defeated. The master that you serve is defeated by my master, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you try to threaten me or scare me, all of heaven stands beside me. I have a throne in heaven. Your master's throne is empty. Because the Bible says in Ephesians 2:6 that every child of God sit in Christ in heavenly places. I have a throne in Christ next to the Father, and Lucifer's throne is empty. Last time I checked, the same passage in Luke 10 says he's been kicked out of heaven. And I saw Satan as lightning out of heaven. And guess what? He's going to be kicked into hell. That is his final destiny. And God can do it for you too, if you allow him and not to resist him. The plans that he has for you. And if you die without coming into plan, into that line, what a waste of life. You know, it is not death that is a waste. It is to live purposelessly, aimlessly, no direction. I don't even know why I'm here. What a bad state to be in. I want you to turn together with me, if you can, to Deuteronomy chapter 10. I want to read some verses there. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, as from verse 12, just to spare some time, it say, fear the Lord. And now Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commandments and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good. Look at the heart of God. What God commands from us, he will help us to obey that, because it is for my good. Verse 14. To the Lord your God belongs the heavens and the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it. Yet the Lord set his affection on your ancestors and loved them, and he chose you, their descendants, above all the nations as it is today. I want you to see God's love for you. He hates your sin, for sure. But he loves you so, so much. How do I know that? Well, if you know John 3:16, there you can see it on the cross. For he loved you so much that he gave his one and only son. There's no one else. God have to come himself, manifest in the flesh, to say, this is how much I love you. And I stretch out his hands and he died. So much. Not so much. So much. These two hands come not together. So much. You can't fathom that. But again, when we come there, Isaiah 55, and here in Acts chapter 7, what separates me from God? We can be so religious, man. We can sing these choruses and we can pray even the Lord's Prayer, and it is just all mechanical. It's dead. It's just religion. Christianese. But we live a wayward, godless life. That's why we are powerless. We mingle with the wrong company. And you will remember we spent quite a long time with 1 Corinthians 15:33. Don't deceive yourself. Don't you know that bad company corrupts good character? And many times it's not that we don't know this. We know that. And still, we are hooked to them. It's like Pastor Greg has one day give an example, and you say you take a corpse, and you tie it to yourself. And all the maggots and the pus and the come out of that corpse, and you carry that thing wherever you go. Later you became part of that corpse. You can't smell it anymore, it is so stinking, and the maggots is all over you. You became one with that corpse. I love it, man. It tastes so yucky lacquer. Huh? That's why I don't want to part from it. Because if I have to change, you know how many women, men, who came here at the mission, married men, eh? Who has wives outside there, give them ultimatums that if they don't fix their life, they're going to divorce them. It is ikapot. Some of them sit with the papers. They just wait for the next, and you're going to sign, I'm finished with you. And I saw many how God changed it. And he mend them together, reconciled them together. I saw it many times. But then also I see many times how men is hard as a rock. They feel zots for them. Because they think they are a god. And they are only gods of their own destruction. But they took the whole family down. And God said, I have a plan for you, but I have plans of my own life. Like one guy said to me one day that he is a god of his own life. Yeah? I asked him, please promise me one thing. Yeah? What's that? I said, please don't die. He said, what do you mean? Oh, we all die. I said, no. Gods don't die. Am I right? If you say you are a god, then please promise me don't die. Because we think we are gods. Because gods don't die. He never answered me. And then I said to him, what we heard many times in this mission, don't get caught in a coffin without Christ. God stretched his hand out to help us to change. And what are we doing? I will try my luck. Russian roulette. Nothing. You did it for ages. I'm born in August, July, August. Isn't what they, some religions say, if you're born in that time, you are a, what is the right word? Help me, for those who know. It's like you have immunity, man. You can steal, you will never be caught. A what? Amavasa. Then everybody is born in August or July. Because everybody is Amavasa. Because they think they're going to get away with it. No. And if you think you get away, listen to, can I give you a news flash? Numbers 32 verse 23. Your sin will catch up with you. Your sin will find you. If it's not in this life, before God it stands. Don't resist him. I will continue on. I'm not finished. It's just too much for one sitting. Here's the question. Stephen said to the Sanhedrin, you are just like your ancestors, always resisting the Holy Spirit. God has the better for your life, but you don't want it. The fact that we are here in our setting is because God has brought us here. And he wants to change our lives. Are we resisting him? Or are we going to submit to him and say, Lord, here's my life, willingly. Maybe there's some sin, and I'm talking now to the children of God, for those been born out of it. Maybe there's something in your life that the Lord has talking to. We call it a God has a bone to pick with us, and for a specific thing maybe in your life. And you're resisting the Holy Spirit, and you will be the most unhappiest Christian that there is, because God has a bone to pick, because I resist his Spirit, and I don't want to depart from that thing. I love it. John 3:19 say, if we do the sin, we love darkness and we hate the light. How are we doing? Are we obeying or are we resisting? The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Submit to God. But what are we? Many do, and I'm talking general. Many of us resisting God and submit to the devil. To do his bidding. To do his pleasures. And we resist God. May it not be so with us. And if it is that we will repent from that, let's pray together. Father, thank you for your precious word. Help us not to resist you. Help us not to be stiff-necked and stubborn and rebellious. I can remember in my life, there was for many, many, many years a bone to pick with me. And Lord, I struggle to submit, and that doesn't mean it is something sinful per se. It can be something, a good habit to have. And you said no. But I want it. As if your life depended upon it. And that wasn't really, really so. And I was always this unhappy person. Why? Because God has a bone to pick. I resist the Spirit of God. Help us that we will come to our senses. And just submit and say, Lord, whatever you want to do with me, here's my life. I don't know how much is left, but here is what is left. Make something good of me. Your good in me. Please, Lord. Confirm it in our hearts, Lord. Prepare our hearts for tomorrow. In Jesus' name.